There's a difference, a very, very big difference, between wisdom distilled into a short, profound statement, you know, maybe called a proverb or an adage or an insight. There's a big difference between that and a piece of intellectual candy floss, which is simply emotional trivia from the University of My Little Pony. But as you know from our church magazine, I slip in little quotes here and there. I slip them in when I think they've something wise and encouraging to say. But I also like poking fun at that whole genre, in case we all become a bit too po-faced, mistaking all solemnity for holiness. That's when it all becomes a bit too Obi-Wan Kenobish. You know, wise he is in the parallel pathways of human perplexity. What's all that about? It sounds wise, but it's rubbish. Which is why the May magazine contained this quote. And at first it sounds, well, wise and compassionate. But if you pause and ponder after the final phrase, because it's got a darker and more subversive message. Never talk about a man, says Nathan Followhill of the massively successful rock group Kings of Leon. Never talk about a man until you've walked a mile in his shoes. That way, when you talk about him, you're a mile away and you have his shoes. So wisdom can come in golden nuggets, but you also have to take care in case it's fool's gold. Which is why I've hesitated about this whole worship theme, The Awesome Journey. It's based on the idea of faith being a journey and the disciple being a pilgrim, the awesome journey of faith. I actually think there's a huge amount of truth in it. But somehow it can come over as rather cliched, which made me hesitate. It can come over cliched in the way of, you know, if every day was sunshine, then life would be a desert. That's from the My Little Pony Department of Advanced Philosophy, that kind of nonsense. Nevertheless, running that risk, I'd like to explore this area of life and faith more carefully. This notion that discipleship is a journey, a pilgrimage, if you like. Will you come and follow me, says Jesus, if I just call your name? Jesus' invitation echoes an awful lot of scripture, which is full of stories where faith is expressed and experienced through people setting out on a journey, often into the unknown. Like a gap year without the invisible support of the bank of mum and dad. A gap year that can last, in fact, many years. A gap year which can actually turn out to be a lifetime. A lifetime spent understanding this life through the eyes of faith. A God perspective on everything. But think about it. Faith is meant to be a growing thing. It's not static. Jesus once said to his disciples, "I have so much more to tell you, but you're not ready for it yet." Meaning, once you commit to following in Jesus' footsteps, you commit to growing up, to growing in faith. It's a journey. Now, some folk here will remember that moment when I joined the church. Perhaps long ago, perhaps quite recently. Think about it. Think about all the things that have happened in your life since then. Things you perhaps never imagined would happen, couldn't have foreseen, some of which you would never have chosen, and some wonderful. Yet they all happened, and you're here now. So you're not the same person. The journey has changed you. You carry the scars and the blessings and the insights between that moment and now. So why should we expect the details, the furniture of our faith to stay the same throughout life's journey when everything else changes? What adult would wish to retain the intellectual ability of a 5-year-old? It doesn't make sense. And so wherever we were spiritually when we joined the church, I'm suggesting that probably that's not where we are now. Willingly or grudgingly, life has taken us on a journey. And our faith is invited to respond to that. In fact, sometimes to initiate some of those events. The trick is not to keep faith as an ornament from an earlier, more innocent time. The trick is to allow faith to face the new day and be bashed, bruised, and challenged, and by God's grace to emerge triumphant, but quite possibly different. A journey, you might call it. Now, that would not be an understatement. So our worship this morning begins by asking the not-so-simple question, where are you? Where are you in life? Where you thought you might be? Or in a strange land? In a land of fulfilled aspirations or a desert of broken dreams? Or are they both landscapes we have traveled through? And to find some kind of answer to that deceptively simple question, we go back to the book of Genesis that Norma read from, to the story of creation, an ancient story, which for many generations was told with respect and veneration, and listened to with awe, listened to by people who had not yet learned to write. When this story was first told, and for many centuries afterwards, it was told by people and to people who were not literate. So all wisdom was passed on orally. Storytellers were the guardians and trustees of ancient truth. So from time to time, perhaps at harvest time, or solstice, or full moon, the family, the clan, the tribe would gather around the campfire and stories would be told. Ancient stories passed with great care from one generation to another. Stories told to help people understand what life was about. And they didn't, as they heard those stories, they didn't have our very contemporary hang-up about whether the truth had to be understood literally or metaphorically or in whatever way. That wasn't a problem. That wasn't a question for the folk who first heard those stories. They intuitively knew that many of these tales weren't factually true, but that they contained truth, profound truth, about the human condition. These people maybe didn't have Smeg freezers and platinum-rated credit cards, but they weren't stupid. They could tell the difference between fact and myth and truth. Wish that some Christians today could make that distinction. It would save an awful lot of bickering about the authority of Scripture. But back to our journey, a theme that I'm tenuously clinging to. Our journey begins naturally enough by asking the question, where are you? And the answer is, wherever you are loved by God. The steadfast love of God never ceases, says the otherwise less than cheery Book of Lamentations. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that's why we're going to end this service later singing that hymn, not the one that's on the service sheet. We'll finish singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. But truth be told, some of us probably wrestle with that reality, that we are loved relentlessly so by God. Some of us find it hard to believe not that God is, but that he, she persists in loving us. We struggle with accepting such a love because we find parts of ourselves unlovable. I'm not trying to be rent-a-shrink here. I'm just recognizing a genuine point of conflict and confusion for some Christians. Christians who find it hard to love themselves simply because they know, we know all too well, our secret betrayals, our routine compromises, our daily deceits, our occasional very public acts of treason. Then again, welcome to the human race. If you're not screwed up, you probably haven't really joined in. We're complicated people. That's why we begin this series of services with the Genesis story. Too often you hear that part of Scripture referred to as the story of the fall. How humankind messed up by using our free will to make selfish, destructive choices. What we tend to forget is that before the fall, there is first the simple truth that God creates humankind out of love, for the sheer joy of it. As the scriptures say, God looked at everything he had made, and he was very pleased. Without being in any way naive or complacent or in denial of our human capacity to cause pain and misery and suffering, it's important to go back further in those ancient stories to hear the truth that we too easily lose sight of. God is pleased with his creation. We are created out of God's being, out of his love and delight. Body, soul, mind, spirit, however we understand these entities, it comes down to one core truth. We are God-created beings. As we sometimes say in our baptisms, there is divinity as well as biology in who we are and what we are. And that has to be the starting point for our journey of faith. Pilgrims we may be, and our life journey will take us many places, and our life experiences will challenge and change us. But we are God-created beings and remain so all our days on earth. There's a really beautiful hymn in CH4 which we very rarely sing, primarily because it's more of a funeral hymn. But its gentle lyrics absolutely affirm the divinity which is woven into our humanity. For a song which allows people to mark the end of a life on this earth, its words paradoxically remind us of our spiritual pedigree, our God roots, and we need to remember that as we venture forth in faith each day. And this are the words of that hymn. From the falter of breath, through the silence of death, to the wonder that's breaking beyond, God has woven a way unapparent by day for all those of whom heaven is fond. From frustration and pain, through hope hard to sustain, to the wholeness here promised, there known. Christ has gone where we fear and has vowed to be near on the journey we make on our own. From the dimming of light, through the darkness of night, to the glory of goodness above, God the Spirit is sent to ensure heaven's intent is embraced and completed in love. From today till we die, through all questioning why, to the place from which time and tide flow, angels tread on our dreams, and magnificent themes of heaven's promise are echoed below. Someone once said that life is a farce played out on a stage where no one has a script and the director is AWOL. And on a bad day, I think we can all see how that statement was made. But I'm persuaded that life is, in fact, a journey. And God's loving intent for us is that we can grow in faith as we travel, learning the art of love and forgiveness, the art of justice and compassion, and we learn it by practicing it. And to practice it, you just need to wake up. Each new day offers 100 opportunities to practice. Wake up and turn up. That's how it begins. But it helps a lot if we realize that this journey, it's not about being perfect. It is about surrendering utterly to the grace of God, revealed so wonderfully in Jesus, and remembering from the oldest story of all, God looked at everything he had made. And he was very pleased. So glory be to God the Father, to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning and is now and ever shall be. Amen.